Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Hello. I'll ask it again. How many of you have been shopping for Christmas? There we go. Well, you probably have noticed, like I have, that there's a lot of Christmas decorations about. All different kinds. I was in Macy's and Von Maur this past Friday, and in Macy's they had the entire, all through the store, they had these gigantic red balls suspended from the ceiling all over the whole store. And then I went into Von Maur and I started counting the Christmas trees that they had and lost count of the number of Christmas trees. Lots of decorations that are stuck about these days. I've even seen some manger scenes. You know, I find that manger scenes are actually pretty pretty neutral. If somebody's against a manger scene, they are pretty hardcore against anything Christian. Right? And unfortunately, in our world today, it only takes one or two, and then they get it taken off of the courthouse steps or whatever. But nevertheless, you know, for the most part, people are not taken back by a nativity scene. I began to kind of think about this. Well, you know, why is that? I believe it's because everybody likes a baby. And then if you think about it, the story kind of, the whole story around the nativity kind of fits our day. In that it's, you know, we're all about justice and we're all about, yeah, everything under the sun. But, you know, I was thinking about no room for them in the inn. Oh, yeah, homeless. Right? Young, unmarried, pregnant girl finds guy willing to marry her. Oh, come on. I didn't mean to strike too close to home there for a couple of you. No, come on. You know, no, couple forced by government to travel because of government mandate. Huh? I know some of you are searching your, you know, what's that in the story? They went to Bethlehem because they were taxed. Huh? And they had to go back to their hometown. Can you imagine the inconvenience that would have been for them? Incredible. But again, you know, all those pieces of the narrative there, the child, the woman who was in struggle and difficulty, and the man who stepped in to help her, and running, and oh my goodness, all of it fits so perfectly in our day. A manger scene kind of works. So I was thinking through this, I thought, you know, what's missing? Because, you see, there is a huge disconnect between light and dark. Right? Either there's so much darkness that it covers up the light, or light comes and pierces the darkness, but the two, they do not dwell together. And so anything that has to do with the light or with God or with Christianity is in such contrast to the world. And yet, we're celebrating Christmas in our country that's bent on separation of church and state. Here's the conclusion that I've come to. That the real dynamic of Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus is set aside far enough that the world is willing to practice Christmas. I want to bring us back over these next three Sundays to what I believe is the central theme of the birth of Christ. And it's simply this: a king has been born. A king has been born. Now see, the world doesn't want to touch that, because a king speaks of a kingdom, speaks of rule, speaks of authority, and subjects in that kingdom must adhere to or come under the authority of that rule. I don't know how many of you noticed, but this past week, Barbados was freed from the English or Commonwealth Empire. First time in a long time, they were set free. We're seeing that as kingdoms are, let's put it this way, royalty is finding a back seat because people don't want to come under authority. The royalty in England are struggling to find and keep their place in that society. I mean, you've seen this. I don't know if you're paying any attention to the news or not, but they are. They're trying to find their place in social issues and in helping and different things like that so that they continue to have relevance. Why? Because we're living in a world today that does not want to be ruled. See, this all goes together. So as we begin to proclaim that Christ is King, we're drawing a lot of lines that this world doesn't like. But can I tell you this morning that that is the narrative, if you will, that we should be carrying forth. Christmas is not just about the birth of a baby, a difficult couple, a difficult circumstance in a town called Bethlehem, and we all get to give gifts and have a glorious time. Now see, here's the thing. All of us try, I believe, to be very careful about bringing the distinction between the spiritual side and the commercial side of this holiday. Right? So this is not just a world problem. This is something that we deal with here in the church. I want, and I believe the Holy Spirit is calling us, because of this day that we're living in, He's calling us back to recognizing that a king was born. King Jesus. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 14, I believe, says, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all nations, and then the end will come." This gospel of the kingdom, not just Jesus as Savior, but Jesus as King. I think it's interesting that even within the body of Christ, we have come to an interesting distinction between Jesus as our Savior and Jesus as our Lord. That word Lord that is throughout the New Testament, despotes, means absolute ruler. What is that referencing? It's referencing His kingship. So let's dig around a little bit for these next three Sundays. We're going to look at truth that is clear and visible in the Word. The babe in Bethlehem is the King. The King of all the ages. This king, Jesus, was foretold. And that's where we go here in Isaiah, and we're going to look at a few other passages as well. Well, let me give you a couple of them. Scripture says that he will come out of Israel, this king of all the ages, this king of the most important kingdom that's ever existed. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. Genesis 49:10 says, a scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Wow. The rule belongs to him. Can you imagine the restraint that it takes, church, for our Lord to not step back into this world? It belongs to him. All the kingdoms of the world are his kingdoms. There should be a couple more amens than that. I'll just say it one more time, give you a chance. I said the kingdoms of this world are his kingdoms. This world belongs to him. He bought it and paid for every soul, every life. You say, but some have not received him. That's their problem. He bought and paid for every soul. Micah says in 5:2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, even though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Psalm 2 says that he will be the Son of God. In Psalm 2, verses 6 and 7, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Now look with me at Isaiah's passage. For unto us, would you say that? For unto us. And maybe just make it personal. For unto me a child is born. To us, to me, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You and I are living right in the midst of that verse. Because they see, the child king was born. The child king came and did his work here on this earth. But that king rose from the dead and ascended to the Father and is waiting for the Father to say, go get my own. And that king is going to step to the threshold of heaven and invite those who belong to him, those who recognize his kingdom, those who are part of his kingdom. He's going to say, come on home. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, Paul says, comfort one another with these words. The king is not done. He didn't finish his work at the cross. He's only just begun. He will reign on David's throne. You see, there's coming a day where the child king, in all of his glory, in all of his splendor, will take his seat upon the throne and will rule from Jerusalem the entire world, universe. Wow. The nature of his kingdom is spoken of here in Isaiah and in other passages. Listen, the government will be on his shoulders. So the weight of the whole world will rest upon him. He is aware today of everything that is going on. My Bible says he raises up authorities and he brings them down. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Listen to some of these. Isaiah 42 says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice on the earth, and in his law islands will put their hope." See, what I want you to see this morning is that smart people, smart nations, smart rulers bow their knee to the King of all the ages. Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah says this, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David's throne a branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is right and just in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous." Hallelujah. Daniel says it like this in Daniel 7. "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power." Listen. "All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Hallelujah. We look at our leaders and we see their fallacies, their inabilities, and sometimes just their outright meanness. I'm thankful this morning to serve a king. The King of all the ages, who rules justly, who rules powerfully. And I can walk, I can live, I can move in him and in his kingdom. You see, friends, the question today that is on our table is this: what kingdom are you serving today? See, but oh, pastor, I'm in this world and I've got, yes, we do, but what kingdom are we serving today? What authority is the authority that we are leaning into? I choose the king born in Bethlehem. You see, this King Jesus was much anticipated. Now these, you know all these. You know, how many know the Christmas story? Okay, so I'm not going to fill in all the blanks on this. I just want to give you a scripture. I want you to stand. Something was floating there. I know you didn't see it. You're just thinking I'm kind of weird, but that's fine too. Think about Simeon. Now listen, there is a relationship here to Simeon in many people's lives. I can't go into it today, but I want you to understand there is a spirit and an allegorical connection that you and I can have with him. But he was a righteous and a devout man, and the Holy Spirit was on him. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. What is consolation? It's the word paraklesis. It means to act in exhortation, but also encouragement for the purpose of strengthening. He was waiting for someone to come along, sent from God, who would encourage and strengthen the nation of Israel. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child, that was Mary and Joseph, the child Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." What is he saying? He's saying, I have been held here. until this day where I could see that God sent the encourager. Hallelujah. I cannot help, I say it to you, I'll say it to you again and again and again. I cannot help but wonder if we are the last generation of the church. It's going to happen somewhere along the line. Some body of believers, some church that exists at a certain period of time will be the last ones to carry the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. They will be the last ones to take the gospel of the kingdom to the nations and people groups of this world. I can't help but wonder if we are that church. See, we can't get lost in all the stuff that the world is lost in. We can't let Christmas be about a babe and giving gifts and all those neat and convenient things that everybody can enjoy and accept. You and I, who are part of the kingdom of God, have got to bear in and realize this is our opportunity. Do you know Jesus as King? Simeon realized he was held because God was sending a king, someone who was going to take up the reins, someone who was going to rule and reign. Anna, daughter of Phanuel, 84 years old, spent her time in the temple praying, fasting. Night and day she worshiped the Lord. Coming into them at that moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She could see it. She could sense it. You get it? Simeon and Anna, they could sense a king has been born. The whole universe has just changed. The character of everything has just changed. You and I are walking. If we will walk in the kingdom of God, everything changes. Our priorities change. Things that seem to be so incredibly important begin to be laid aside because the King of all the ages has come. Amen. Even wise men saw it. Y'all have heard about the wise men, right? But listen, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" These guys read it in the stars. "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." My goodness, church, look up at the stars. You know, even the chief priests and the teachers of the law knew enough that Micah's passage in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that Micah's passage about where the Messiah, where the king would come from, when Herod asked, "Where is he coming? Where is he coming? Where is he coming?" They said, "Oh, he'll come to Bethlehem." And he did. But I have to tell you this morning, in that day, Jesus was overlooked. The king was overlooked. He was born King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was sent into the world to redeem the world, but he was overlooked. King Herod, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, "The Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 'Get up,' he said, 'take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.'" It's interesting. Just the very hint, just the hint that a king was being born was enough to get Herod, listen to this, When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. He was so concerned about a king being born that he killed all the babies in Bethlehem. This was a man who did not even believe or worship God. The chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the law missed acknowledging Jesus as king. They refused to believe, even though he was right in their midst. The miracles that he did, the teaching that he brought forth, everything, all the pieces were all there. They witnessed it before their eyes, and they still overlooked the king when he was in their midst. Oh, and then there's the people. When you see him on his triumphant entry coming into Jerusalem, you think, aha, they got it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the king. Yes. No. When he didn't perform the way they thought would perform, they were part of the crowd that was standing out hollering, crucify him, crucify him. You say, well, that stuff never happens. It happens all the time. People who accept Christ as Savior but do not move into that realm of accepting his lordship, accepting his kingship. They still want to be in control and in charge of their life. And so when God does not perform, when he does not perform according to their pattern or their thinking, what do? Crucify him. So, oh no, they don't say crucify him. No, they just turn their back on him and say he doesn't exist. Why? Because he didn't perform. Folks, things haven't changed a whole lot since the days that Jesus walked here on this earth. The Jewish people turned on him because he didn't perform in the way that they thought that he should. People are turning away from the church step by step. Why? It's because the message of a little babe in a manger, as sweet as it sounds, as sweet as it looks, is not enough. You and I have got to accept him as Savior, yes, but also as absolute ruler of our life. And that means of the good stuff and the difficult stuff. He didn't jump when I said jump. You know, we need to understand this king a little bit. That he is not here to perform for us. We are bought and paid for by his blood. And if anyone should step in with concern, it should be us. Whatever you desire, Lord. I think of the words of Paul when he said, in him I live and move and have my being. I want to say he got it. And we all know that, right? Paul got it. Hello? Yeah. Paul got it. What did he get? He got that Jesus was the king. So easy to overlook Jesus. It's so easy to overlook his kingship. It's even, you know, it's even more comfortable just to see him as Savior. You know, we buy into that. We run into that. Because we know we need a Savior. We know that we're sinners and we need somebody to help get us to heaven. And so we will buy in. We will step in to him being Savior. But his kingship, his lordship is another realm altogether. Because see, then that means then that his way is the right way. His thoughts, which are so hard for me to understand, are the right thoughts. And we bump up against, our humanity bumps up against his holiness and his the spectacular nature of our Lord and his decision making that always goes beyond what we can think or imagine. And when we come up against it, we slap our lives up against it. What we don't understand, we step back away from instead of stepping into it and say, Lord, you know, I'm yours. I belong to you. This thing that I'm going through, this circumstance that is happening right now in my life, you're fully aware of because you are my King. I guess we need to put a crown on this baby in Bethlehem's manger. We need to realize that a King was born, the King of kings and Lord of lords. You see, he's going to continue to be overlooked by a lot of people who know the story. They don't know just Bethlehem's story. They know he died upon a cross. They know the story. They've got it inside of them. But they will not bow their knee. The Apostle Paul says there's coming a day where every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You open up Revelation and you see chapter 19 and we see a king come riding back full of glory. What's coming out of his mouth? The Word. The Word. The Word. Why do I deem it important to give you the Word and not just Bill's opinions on things or the latest psychology to try and help you through your life? I want you to have the Word. I want you to have His Word in your life because He's the King. He's the ruler. If you can get His Word hid in your heart, like David said, I won't sin against God. I won't be in rebellion if I have His Word hid in my heart. He said, but if I could just understand all that He's doing, you'll never understand all that He's doing. He's the King. You see, we keep mispositioning the Lord. We have Him, we'll never admit this, but we have Him under us. Because we think, I consult Him when I want to consult Him. When I'm hurting and when I have a need, I want Him to be there, ready. We get mad at Him if He doesn't perform to the measure. That He is the King. King of kings, Lord of lords. Let me tell you His words as He finishes His word to us in Revelation chapter 22. Behold, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. That they may have the right. He came to Bethlehem's manger to be a king. To establish a kingdom of which you and I can be a part. But we have to choose. What authority are you serving today? He is the King. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that as we begin this trio of messages recognizing King Jesus, grip our hearts. May we look at that child in the manger scene with different eyes, recognizing a king. A king has been born who is worthy of our service, worthy of our allegiance, that we might be worthy to come into His presence. I pray this morning, if there is one person in this room or those who are watching online, if there's one today who is listening to my voice who has not surrendered their life to you, that this would be the day. Not just their sins, but their life. That they might know you as King and Lord of their life. I pray it right now in Jesus' name, that this would be the day, Lord, that this would be the day that they would say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Shannon, if you would come and help me, please. Blessed Jesus. I'm reluctant to have you stand because I want you here in this atmosphere. I wonder if there's anyone who would slip up their hand and say, Pastor Bill, pray with me. I need to accept Jesus. I've accepted him as my Savior, but I need to surrender to him my life and let him be the King of my life. Is there anyone who would just slip up your hand and say, pray with me, Pastor? No judgment here, just love. Anyone? Lord, why'd you have me preach this message? Yeah, okay. Is there anyone else? Yes. Anyone else? You will never know what God can do with your life until you surrender your life to the King. Church, join with me and let's pray for these that lifted up their hand. Father in heaven, we just join our hearts with them right now, that as they surrender to you their life, their journey, God, help them to realize they won't always understand everything that is taking place. They will perhaps always have questions that they cannot find answers to. But if they will surrender their life to you, you will help them to find that life like Paul had, that in you they live and move and have their being. You'll bring them through. You'll guide them through as they walk their journey. I pray, Lord, that they would truly see in their hearts, not beyond any of my words or anything that was spoken today, but they would see the benefit of surrendering their life to you. And that from this day forward, they would think to consult you, to yield to you, and let you be the master of their life. And I thank you right now, Lord, that you are willing to take up the reins of responsibility for their life as they put them in your hands. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And Lord, I just can't help but believe that there's others in this room who are needing that point of surrender as well. So we pray, oh Lord, break our will. Break our will. That we would know and understand that all that you want to do is to give us abundant life, the fullest life. Help us, oh Lord, to seek you first. Like Matthew said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added. Lord, help us to move in that direction. May you be glorified through our life and responses. Again, now we thank you for this service. We thank you for the time we get to be together and pray your blessings and your safety over each and every one as we leave this room. May your spirit go with us. Thank you, King Jesus, for letting us be part of your kingdom. In your precious name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord. Again, ladies.